from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. In 1951, the U.S. military bulldozed the highest peak on Mount Tamalpais to build an Air Force station, which was given the ongoing task of diverting jet interceptors and short-range Nike nuclear missiles against the threat of potential nuclear bombers. By 1980, the base was obsolete and closed, but with a huge toxic mess left for the mountain. And the history of this project rests now in attempts to restore the west peak of Mount Tam to its natural state. And because that history is relatively unknown, it's important that a film has been released. Peter Coyote got in touch with me and told me about this film, and I've lived in Marin for many years and was unaware of the whole history of it, and it's fascinating. Gary Yost is here, producer and cinematographer of the film The Invisible Peak. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for inviting us, Michael.
And Mike Swayze is with us in studio. He's watershed manager of the Marin Municipal Water District. They help launch the Tamalpais Land Collaborative to fund restoration projects up on Mount Tamalpais. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And glad to have you both here. Let me start with you, Gary. I mean, it's extraordinary probably how many people don't know about this, have gone up to the mountain play every year, never even observed this, and yet there it was, and there it still is.
That was what was so interesting about the story. You know, there are over a million visitors a year to the mountain, and the more I asked around in Marin County about history of the station, the more I realized that almost nobody in the county even knew it had ever existed.
Well, it's a Cold War phenomenon. I mean, in fact, I guess it goes back to the Kennedy administration and the idea that we were going to be hit. It was maybe even just a little around the time of duck and cover and all that. How did you find out about it? Were you a fire lookout or?
Yes, that's right. A number of years ago, I became a fire lookout as a volunteer with the Marin County Fire Department and started spending a lot of time up on the lookout, that little cubic building at the very top of East Peak. And on my way up there, before I would do shifts, I'd have breakfast, I'd stop at the West Peak, which originally I thought was completely fenced off. But I saw that if you parked and walked up to the gate, you could actually walk around it and explore the ruins there. So I became more and more interested. And when I made a little film about my experience as a fire lookout, I had such a great time doing that I was looking for my next project. And the mountain, so to speak, called me to reveal this hidden history of what had happened up there.
Well, so few people, as we've said, know that there were 300 people living up there on a base for decades. Actually, let's hear a clip from this short film. This is narrator and co-author, I think. Peter Coyote wrote the script with you?
That's right, co-author with George Daly.
Describes what the military did to, again, we're talking about one of the most beautiful vistas up on the west peak of Mount Tamalpais back in 1951.
Half a million cubic yards of the mountaintop disappeared. The army altered, blasted, and bulldozed over 100 acres of this Sentinel Mountain. In its place rose two mammoth radar domes, along with bunker tracking stations and barracks to house the hundreds of technicians and soldiers necessary to scan the skies 24 hours a day. Mount Tamalpais was permanently disfigured. National security came at a cost.
And that cost has been sort of what the restoration is all about now. Mike Swayze, give us a sense of where things stand and what still needs to be restored and what has been restored.
Well, the 50-year lease expired in 2005 and came back into district hands. And so we've been trying to figure out. There's been an interest in restoration beginning when the Air Force left the facility and the lease lapsed to the nearest federal agency, which is the National Park Service. The Park Service, the Water District, and even the Board of Supervisors of Marin County did kind of joint planning exercise. So there was what are we going to do with the Air Force Station in the future? And the consensus in the community at that time was to restore it to a natural condition as much as possible. So we're kind of limited with our resources, so we have a very big watershed to manage, and so we're still trying to figure out how to manage that. So,
in 1995, the U.S. government handed over a couple million, but it's going to cost a lot more than that. Clearly, I mean, you just sort of began the cleanup with that money.
Yeah, we got a preliminary estimate back around 2005 of about $3.5 million to do the earth moving and the revegetation work.
I think people don't realize we're talking about a permanent radar base. There was a World War I memorial that was bulldozed, so many cypress trees taken away, and it was really disfigured to create this platform for war, essentially. I mean, that sort of describes it, Gary Yost.
That's right. The top of West Peak is one of the largest serpentine outcroppings in the entire Bay Area, and it's a very fragile ecosystem. And the entire top was leveled by bulldozers, and it's one of the few habitats for large sargent cypress trees in the Bay Area.
This is also an area, as Montamalpais is generally, and I want to hear another clip from this. As many people know, Montamalpais not only associated with the Miwok Indians, but with a kind of sacredness, particularly in the terrain we're talking about here. And this is the voice of Sky Road Webb, who was a coastal Miwok.
Tamil is a direction word. It means west or coast, and Pais means hill or mountain, so it means west coast hill. And my ancestors were called Tamil Ko, were the people of the west coast. Our connection with the mountain is real direct. We named ourselves after the mountain. Mount Tamalpais is a real significant mountain to not just the Coast Miwok people, but also a lot of indigenous people.
Yeah, and by the way, you can find a link to the film, the 20-minute film, on our website, kqed.org. Peter Coyote sort of brings us into focus, your film, Gary, by talking about nuclear and ancient views and making that dichotomy.
Yeah, there's a real kind of contradiction here that the Western view is usually to find the highest place and to take it over and
keep
conquer
climbing.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Vanquish that mountain. Right.
But the traditional indigenous view is that these high places are our most sacred places and the places that we can connect to spirit the most deeply. And those two opposing forces really come together in this particular spot on top of Mount Tam.
It's hard to believe that a sacred spot so ancient and all of its associations had Hercules missiles. I mean, there's something about that that just doesn't gel. Also, the thing about this film I couldn't help noticing was the appearance of Sasheen Littlefeather. I mean, we're talking about Native Americans. She was the woman who went up and took an Oscar in lieu of Marlon Brando, went up, in fact, and made the case for the Native Americans. Many people probably remember that. I'm going to invite those of you listening to join us, and I'd certainly like to hear your thoughts about this. I mean, I'd particularly like to hear from some of you who have maybe been walking, hiking on Montam, live in Marin County, and I suspect may have had no idea about this 106-acre stretch on the mountaintop, full of power lines and pipes and construction debris that are remaining up there. But if you have questions or comments about this piece of history, this radar station and the barracks up there for 300 people that we're talking about 6 decades later, you may want to join the conversation here, and you're invited to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you, and you can join us now. The number is 866-733-6786. I'd like to hear from some of you on that whole idea of, well, the dichotomy I mentioned before between the ancient idea of sacred places and the idea that maybe Western civilization is fashioned that we just keep climbing mountains and going higher and, conquering, I suppose, vanquishing. We do want to hear from you, though, and you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, but feel free to join the program. You can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Talking about sacred things, I just want to get you on record here about something else, Gary, and then go back to Mike about the project of restoration. And the Dalai Lama was up there, I guess.
Yes, that's how Sasheen Littlefeather came into the picture. In part of my research, I found that in 1989, actually 2 weeks before our big earthquake here, the Dalai Lama had flown in a helicopter to the top of West Peak at the Air Force Station to do a Tibetan Buddhist ceremony that's very rarely done called the Lhasang ceremony that requires the top of a mountain to perform correctly. And so I found out he was there, and I thought that was extremely interesting, and I started looking for people who had been there, and I found a few people who had been there. I did some interviews, but nothing that I felt was truly deep enough to speak to the story. And finally, a friend of mine said that Sasheen Littlefeather had been there, but also with Thomas Benyaka, who was one of the few Hopi prophets who foresaw the Hopi future. And They had come up that morning to purify the mountain in advance because the Dalai Lama's visit was a sacred event on the mountain, and they were well aware of all the toxics that were still there from the Air Force Station.
And we should mention that our mutual friend, Peter Coyote, who had a lot to do with this film, is now a Zen Buddhist priest. I opened the New York Times one day and read that he had officiated at a wedding, and he was dressed in his priestly garb. So what needs to be done, Mike Swayze, at this point?
Well, we haven't really rolled up our sleeves yet and figured out the plan, but I think a model might be what happened on Angel Island, where the top of Angel Island was Mount Livermore was removed for military installation, and that was recently reconstructed. It's kind of reverse engineering, where you take heavy equipment and you lovingly recreate the geography, the geomorphology of the mountain, and then try to revegetate it as closely as you can.
I wish we could do this to some of those mountaintops in West Virginia, but I'm afraid they're probably lost to us. So, I mean, at this point, who's involved in the restoration project besides the watershed?
It's not an official project yet, but I would really like to proclaim that we've formed a collaborative. This is a joint venture of the agencies that have responsibility, the stewardship of Mount Tamalpais. That's the Water District, Marin Municipal Water District, the California State Parks, the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, and Marin County Parks were formed this TAM Lands Collaborative, the TLC, and the whole venture is supported by the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy, who were seeking to engage the public in projects and programs that ensure the natural health of Mount Tam and also the public's experiences as they visit.
Well, you can see, as I say, the 20-minute film is on our website. You just see how beautiful the vistas are from this particular location. Robert writes to us, back in 1980, I was one of the team sent out to Mount Tam to work on shutting it down. I saw what a beautiful place it was and felt sad what had happened to it. Hopefully it's a lesson learned, but I know it wasn't. Mary wants to know, she says, I've been telling my husband that Mount Livermore on Angel Island was restored to its original height and shape prior to being shaved off so missiles could have a free shot at the West Pacific. He doesn't believe me. Do your guests know if this is true? And I think it's great they're going to restore Mount Tam, too. You know about that, Mike?
Yeah. This kind of work is possible. The West Peak restoration would be at a bigger scale. We'd just like to recognize that in addition to the ancient reverence for this site, the residents of Marin County revere Mount Tam. There's a deep connection to it by the residents.
People going up to that mountain play every year, they didn't even know about this. I mean, that's extraordinary because they're looking for parking places, right?
Right. It's right in our backyard. And yet the fences that surround the place look very intimidating, so you don't think you can even go in there. But there are three openings in the fences, and the Water District encourages people to hike around up there.
Well, we encourage people to join us by phone. We already did that. Let's go to our callers. Tom, join us. Hi.
Good morning, Michael. I live in Mill Valley, and I hike up to the West Point Inn all the time on the other side. And I was wondering, first of all, how you find this base, because I'd like to look at it, and I also want to know if they need volunteers to help restore it.
Mike, can you help them find it? And I'm sure you can use volunteers.
Well, you know, there's a couple trails that connect there. Probably the easiest one would be to park at Rock Springs and take the mountaintop trail. If you go to marinwater.org, click on the watershed tab, you'll find our trails map, and that'll lead you to there. There's other connector trails. But how the public uses this space in the future is part of what the project might be. You know, how do we move through that? How do people get to enjoy what's there, the vistas and the natural environment.
And he also wanted to know if he could sign up to volunteer.
Well, we're still at the early stages of forming our collaborative, but there will be plenty of opportunities for getting involved with this project if it's undertaken as a project. But all of the agencies have volunteer programs.
Okay. That also, how much of the vertical did they remove from the mountain? I was curious how much higher it was before they flattened it out.
They removed approximately 32 feet.
And Gary, you had something you wanted to add to what Mike had said?
No, that's okay.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Tom. I want to get to some more callers, and we'll go to a caller in Ross. Beth, you're on. Good morning.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. I live in Ross. I echo how the Mount Cam is a spiritual experience for all of us, even non-natives. And I was absolutely shocked to hear your report on the radio today. What really got me was when you used the word toxic cleanup. This week, three of my friends have been diagnosed with breast cancer. I immediately wondered if our drinking water, which comes from all the reservoirs up there, is toxic because of this radar station that was up there.
Can you shed some light, Mike Swayze?
Well, I think, you know, as part of the handover of the facility, there was a very detailed assessment done of the toxic. So we're talking about some spilled diesel, some asbestos in the buildings. But
asbestos was the reason the feds got involved.
But
in fact,
there's
yeah.
yes, but there's you know, I think we've cleaned up most of the substantial stuff. Most of the buildings have been removed, and it's a long ways from our water supply. I seriously doubt that there's any impact at all. We have very stringent water quality monitoring programs, and we're not detecting anything in the water.
Well, thanks for asking, Beth, and thanks for your call. And we'll get to another caller here, and that's Bert, who's joining us from San Francisco. Bert, you're on.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I can bike up there once in a while, and having been up there and come across the site was wanting to learn more about it and went to Google Earth. And so just a comment to the listeners, you really get a sense of the devastation and the magnitude of it looking down, you know, from the skies using Google Earth. It's a great, great tool.
Yeah, thank you for that. Good plug for Google Earth, Bert. Good to hear from you. Let me hear from another listener, and that's Norman. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. It's already been alluded to, but I think I'm going to point out that there were lots of missile sites all around the Bay Area. It's not just the radar station up there on top of Mount Tam. Angel Island, there is actually a museum of Nike missiles that is still one of the original bunkers out in the Marin Headlands available for people to visit.
Yeah, good point. I can also remember those big signs. Marin is a nuclear-free zone, but Gary Yost, you want to call?
Yeah, I want to stress that the Mount Tam site was the targeting site for the 16 nuclear missile batteries that were stationed around the Bay Area. There were no actual nuclear missiles stationed at the top of Mount Tam, but that's where the radar and the targeting people were, and they directed the fire from that area or the potential fire.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Norman. I want to get another caller. Tom in Santa Cruz, hi.
Hello, good morning, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've read that all these stations were completely unnecessary, not just the radar stations, but the missiles and personnel. You know, it's like a $100 billion boondoggle because the Russians had the capability to completely jam the radar signals, even from our most advanced radar arrays back in those days. It also precipitated the Cuban missile crisis because President Kennedy was so confident of our defenses, so-called, on the coastline, especially on the west coast here facing Siberia, that he thought he could, put all our destroyers around the island of Cuba and, have a direct confrontation with the Soviet Navy and force them without any, consequences that the Russians would be another impotent to retaliate. So it was not only a huge boondoggle and toxic waste dump, but it almost got the world obliterated. And obviously, I think the contractors should have to pay. Because some of these places are right in the middle of state parks and county parks, like Big Basin, Forest and Icene Parks, county park, beautiful county parks like Sanborn. And also, the best example for cleanup would probably be the Santa Clara County Park cleaned up the Mercury Park, the Quicksilver Park over in Almaden Valley. That was a major federal toxic waste site until they cleaned it up.
Yeah, some good points, Tom. I mean, he's right. The Russians could have jammed a lot of that. Boondoggle, you want to comment?
Well, I want to speak to the issue about the Cold War and particularly the Cuban Missile Crisis that you just brought up. There's an anecdotal story that is not in the film, but I'll just share it very quickly, and that Wayne Irwin, who is the radar spotter who is in the film, told me that his first week stationed up there in 1962 was the week of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so he had just arrived, and of course the condition went to the highest level of security, And everyone was very afraid of a nuclear attack by the Russians. And the Army had just put in a second radar spotting station next to the Air Force station, because the stations served double duty for Air Force sending interceptors out from Hamilton Field, but the Army was in charge of the artillery, which were the short-range Nike Hercules missiles. And the Navy had told the Air Force of some exercises that they were performing in a carrier group off the coast of California, but the communication with the Army wasn't quite clear at that point. And when the Navy launched a full squadron of planes from their carriers, the Army radars lit up as if there was an attack happening in San Francisco, and the Army went to condition red, and they actually started launch sequences for these nuclear missiles. And Wayne said all hell broke loose in the control room, and his commander got on the phone to everyone he could think of. And finally, very close to when they were about to send the launch codes to those stations, they found out that it was our operations.
It's amazing, these kinds of stories, because they're much more legion than people are aware. And I'll give a plug Eric Schlosser's book, you know, which just came out about a year ago. We had him on, talking about all those near misses like you just did. Carl tweets, keep in mind, had things turned to war in those darker days, we would have wished for more defense sites, new sacred locations. Jennifer writes, I've been leading hikes on Montana for many years now. I love Montana. I'm also a member at West Point Inn. Last weekend, I did some cross-country hiking and hiked through just what you were talking about, found old buildings, pool that had been filled in with dirt, and a very large flat cement surface with an amazing center. Would be great to make this an education center, like a center at the base of the bridge, at the foot of the bridge. Discovery Museum, focus on nature, the history of the mountain, etc. And a few more of your emails. Bill wants to know, isn't there also a jet flyover communication facility on top of Montana? And how much land does it use up, and who owns it?
The district still leases 2 acres to the FAA. The radar dome is still there and other communications facilities. It's pretty important for air traffic. It's still needed.
And Scott writes, anthropologically, at least in the modern sense, this was done more out of fear and defense than conquering and offense, not for war, but for protection. Bet it's still an ugly and disruptive project. And let me bring more of your calls on. David, join us. You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to share my experience. I got drafted during the Vietnam War in 1968 back in Michigan, and was assigned to California to the Army Air Defense Control Command in the Presidio. And my first duty after I got here was to get into a panel truck and go on an exercise to what they said was the mountain. And I was so new to the area, I didn't even know where it was. And there were no windows in the truck, and we went at night on a very curvy road. And when I got out of that truck, I was on the top of Mount Tam, looking out over the entire Bay Area. And we parked in like a loading dock, and we went through a little door, and we went into an elevator that went down deep into the ground. And when I came out into this room, it looked like a Dr. Strangelove movie with huge translucent maps of the Pacific and all dark kind of reddish light. And then there were all of the operators who were connected to the Nike Hercules missile defense sites all the way up and down the West Coast. It was the Army Air Defense Control Point for the entire West Coast. And they flew Air Force jets in from Hawaii, and we would track them and pretend like we were going to shoot them down. And then when we were off duty, they had a wall that looked like a morgue in there, where you would pull a drawer out of the wall and crawl into it to sleep until your next time for duty came along. And they told me that there were huge reservoirs of water deep under the conference room, control room, that would make the whole place completely impervious to a nuclear war attack on San Francisco, and that you could survive in there for months with all of that infrastructure underground. So, I mean, I think it would be interesting to explore just what the infrastructure is underground.
Boy, you've got a lot of vivid, detailed memories there, David. I'm impressed with what you're identically able to call and summon up from your memory. You going to add something here to this, Gary Yost?
Yeah, in the film, we were very lucky to find a newsreel that was made about the Tamalpais Air Force Station in the early 1950s, and there are pictures of that control room in the newsreel.
Yeah, there's some great newsreels in there. I mean, you got some terrific footage. And thanks to David, Vlad writes, the place is beautiful. It has infrastructure in place, which costs millions of dollars to either build or undo. Why not create a state county park so people can come and enjoy beauty themselves? What would be the better lesson, even if relics of Cold War are still present and telling us about the past? It's an interesting point, because you go to certain places in Europe and they have all of those things that still remain from the war. And this was the Cold War, of course. But let's get another caller on here. Sue, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I imagine plenty of serpentine was pulverized in the process of demolishing the mountain, and asbestos comes from, or is made from, serpentine.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of asbestos. You want to comment here, Mike Swayze?
Well, there is serpentine. There are serpentine soils there. There is asbestos in serpentine. And there are methods for managing the dust during earth moving activities. That's pretty common, and that would be a hurdle we'd have to cross.
Let me get Michael from Mill Valley on here quickly. Michael, go ahead.
Sure. I was just curious if you'd considered trying to fund a restoration effort via some sort of a Marin County ballot initiative. You know, I mean, it seems like all of Marin would benefit from this, and maybe that would be a way to raise sufficient funds to do the kind of job that you really want to do.
Well, the Tamalpais Land Collaborative, I think, would maybe be advised along those lines.
Well, the idea of the collaborative is to really engage the community in a treasured place. So we would look for the community to bring forward volunteer time and financial resources to do the work. I think that's our interest at this point.
I think we've got seconds left here, but Barry is joining us from Ithaca, New York. Barry, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Just listening this morning, I was remembering back to my childhood in the early 60s. I grew up in Lido Beach, Point Lookout, New York, and there was a Nike base there. And it was quite a sight every day when I was a child.
I was going to have to end it there, Gary, but thank you for the call. And thank you to Mike Swayze and Gary Yost, who both joined us. And again, you can go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and see the film. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our interns are Jack Detch, Marissa Endicott, Maryam Jamil, Hannah Rose Levy, Audrey Gertz, and Danielle Radin. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.